There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-355-1493. 1-800-355-1493. That's 1-800-355-1493.
In this portion of the program, you'll be listening to Dr. Ken Kronhaus, noted cardiologist and the operator of Lake Cardiology down in Mydura, Florida. He studies for our benefit every week the trending stories, the journals of medicine, their reports on studies, et cetera, and how they impact you. And you can get the essence of all these podcasts, the latest podcast, what you may have missed, questions and answers that I send to Ken at the gooddayhealthshow.com website. So that's where the podcasts reside, gooddayhealthshow.com. So let's get to some of the things here, because there's a lot of news about cancer. I noticed the big story, it seems, this week from this corner of the world, Ken, is the focus on colon and rectal cancer screenings. Now they're supposed to start when you're 45 instead of when you and I started them in our 50s, right?
Exactly. Most people should now begin colorectal cancer screening at age 45. This is according to new guidelines from the American Cancer Society. This change, Doug, is due to the rising rate of colon cancer among young Americans.
Mm-hmm. And what's the cause of that? Why would there be people younger getting in? Under the previous circumstance, it was after 50, now it's in your 40s. So is it our diet? Is it the way we live? What's causing the increase in the focus here?
Great question. Well, everyone wants to say that it's the obesity epidemic, poor diet, and lack of exercise, but those things do not fully explain the rise. And the fact is, no one really knows why the age is lowering, but it is. And the statistics show that it is. And this is a bit of a mystery to the medical community.
I'm looking at the fact that black people, people who live in Alaska, for whatever the reason,
yes.
Alaska, I thought they were much healthier up there because they eat fish with lots of oil. The omega-3s are their staple diet. So why would they be getting polyps and stuff?
Again, we know from the black community genetically that they are at increased risk. And there always has been a recommendation to begin at age 45. But why in Alaska? I think it's a lot of speculation, like it is why in general in the American population the onset is getting to a lower age. And I think this has to be studied. I know it's being studied, and hopefully we'll report it soon when it comes out.
One of the most common causes of cancer-related deaths, not only in our country, but around the world. So anyway, that's the first warning when it comes to cancer. A couple of important cancer stories as we continue here. There's a 10-year study that shows obesity increases the risk for a number of cancers, it looks like, Ken.
The way to prevent a lot of havoc, this new report, as he suggested, by the World Cancer Research Fund, it links excessive body fat, Doug, to 12 types of cancers. Obesity increases the risk of getting cancer in the esophagus, stomach, pancreas, gallbladder, liver, colorectum, breast, ovary, endometrium, prostate, and kidney.
Wow. You eat at your own risk. You are what you eat.
Well, it's no longer a matter of that we're doomed to get cancer. It really can be prevented for many of us.
Mm-hmm. By being pretty careful about how much you weigh. Let's see here. Here's another cancer-related story. that sort of falls in line with what we were just talking about, a low-fat diet and what the women's risk of breast cancer is.
Well, once you have breast cancer, what can you do to stay on planet Earth longer? This comes out of the medical journal JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, the oncology edition this week. Doug, breast cancer patients who eat a low-fat diet, they're more likely to survive for at least a decade after diagnosis. This is compared to patients who eat a high-fat diet. So this is just more reason to eat fruits and vegetables if you already have been diagnosed with breast cancer.
Dr. Ken Kronhaus on the air. Some more studies, some more information. I saw a study actually this week, and I just wrote on the story, Ken, eggs may actually be good for your heart. And I'm trying to think to myself, when was it that we thought eggs weren't good for our heart? And I remember back a number of years ago, there was a cholesterol-related problem, or it seemed. And then now all the discussion about what the right cholesterol numbers are, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Eggs were supposed to be a big culprit for heart disease, and now they aren't. Do you eat eggs?
I do. And I'm glad you asked me about this. And this is just another example about how intuition about the body just doesn't turn out to be what exactly happens. But we have, as cardiologists, been advocating that you limit your cholesterol intake each day. The number's usually about 250 milligrams, maybe 300 milligrams per day. And you get that amount in an egg yolk. And there was this feeling until it was really carefully studied that you needed to limit your egg yolks each week because of the risk of getting cholesterol. Well, it turns out that even if a food item has a lot of cholesterol, it's not necessarily going to get into the body and be bad cholesterol. It depends. And it seems like it's really the saturated fats, the trans fats, the cholesterol in those food products that clog up your coronaries. And there are other foods that do have high cholesterol that don't seem to clog up your coronaries, like eggs or even lobster, shrimp, and it's okay. And the studies show that you can safely eat one egg yolk a day, 2 to 6 days a week, you decide. I've been eating about 4 or 5 egg yolks a week and no more than one per day. Egg whites are different. Egg whites do not have cholesterol in them. You eat them for the 3 grams of protein per egg white per day, and that's just part of your protein intake. So you don't have to worry about egg whites. It's the egg yolk. You probably don't want to have more than 6 per week and definitely not more than 1 per day.
Well, I'm lucky to have 6 a year, so I'm not going to have any danger there. I don't like eggs. I'll have them hard-boiled once in a while. I'll feed them to the dog, so I'll have half and cheese.
Even whites?
Yeah, well, the whole thing.
They're very good for you. It's a complete protein. It's really a wonderful food.
Well, you know, you've said to me I don't have enough protein in my diet because I don't eat meat. And
no,
Jack has said that to
much,
me, too.
There's excellent ways to get protein, and we're going to be talking in the next half hour about excellent ways about diet from a personal trainer. But the way to figure out how much protein you should be eating per day, if you want to build muscle, first pick out your ideal body weight and multiply that by 0.7, and that'll give you how many grams of protein per day you should be eating. If you're not trying to build muscle, then for most adults, it should be times 0.6. And then you want to take meals of 25 to 30 grams of protein per meal, and that is what you need to build muscle.
How do you eat your eggs?
How do I get my protein, or how do I specifically cook them? I hard boil them.
You do,
and
I think that's okay. I like that. I don't mind.
I will put in. You know, I'll buy them by the dozen or by the dozen and a half. I'll hard boil them all together, and on a very very low fire. And that spares the protein. But I'll hard boil them for a prolonged period of time at a very low fire, just long enough to get them hard, and not so they're going wild in the water and banging each other at high flames. And then I will eat the egg whites as part of my protein intake per day, and then I'll eat a complete egg, I'd say 4 to 5 times a week, but only one per day.
Yeah, good. All right, so there's a story on eggs from Dr. Ken Kronhaus here on Good Day Health. Here's a story about fish and how that could help boost your sex life, fishy or not, right?
Exactly. Boy, what a reason to get more fish in your diet. This comes out of the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism recently, that adding more seafood, Doug, to the diet helps couples improve their sex lives and even their fertility. Couples who eat fish more than twice each week are more likely to conceive children. Seafood intake might affect semen quality, ovulation, or embryo quality. We should all get 2 to 3 servings of low-mercury fish each week. Seafood with low levels of mercury include salmon and albacore tuna. Fish with potentially harmful levels of mercury include shark, swordfish, king mackerel, and tilefish from the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, any of those swordfish, especially. I grew up eating a lot of swordfish, and I don't like it now. I think maybe because of what you hear about these sorts of things.
Okay, and let's also talk about a healthier diet this week from the Journal of Nutrition may actually reduce the risk of hearing loss in women. We learned that a healthy diet may reduce a woman's risk of hearing loss. Those following an overall healthy diet have a lower risk of moderate or worse hearing loss. So just another good reason to follow a healthy diet. And we also learned that this a new treatment for ulcerative colitis. The drug Xeljanz was first approved in 2012 for rheumatoid arthritis and in 2017 for psoriatic arthritis. The news this week is that the FDA approval of Xeljanz has been expanded to include adults with active, moderate to severe ulcerative colitis. This is just great news. Ulcerative colitis, it's a chronic inflammatory bowel disease. It's characterized by recurring flares of abdominal pain and bloody diarrhea. Symptoms also may include fatigue, weight loss, and fever. So if you've been on current treatment for it, and many don't get the results that they're happy with, just ask your GI specialist about this additional drug. It's spelled X-E-L-J-A-N-Z. It's not exactly spelled the way it sounds, but this is a great new possibility. X-E-L-J-A-N-Z. And we also talked this week about how high blood pressure can cost each of us $2,000 more in our medical expenses. So if you want to save money, get that blood pressure under control, according to the Journal of the American Medical Association and the Journal of the American Heart Association, you actually may save about $2,000 each year if you can get that blood pressure controlled.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in a capsule.
I was diagnosed with congestive heart failure. I went from being able to work 14, 16 hours a day with no problem to where I could barely walk a block to the store. I went on to the phytonutrients about 6 months ago, and within a couple of months, my medical doctor had cut my prescriptions down in a little bit smaller dosage. The next time I went back a month later, I walked into the doctor's office and he says, "My gosh, what's happened to you? You don't even look like the same person." He looked at my legs and the swelling had gone down. My blood pressure was down. The venous stasis ulcers that I had had on my legs for the last 4 or 5 years because of the poor circulation were all healed, and I'm feeling far better.
When you call, use discount code DJV and we'll take 35% off your first month's order and ship it to you free. Call 800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com and use discount code DJV.
During the next half hour, we're going to talk about how to train yourself, how to find a good trainer. Getting into the gym is so important. Ken and I both believe in this. Ken has actually done great things, taken great strides in his own health. I guess as a doctor, people look to you, as well they should, for the way to properly structure a routine. A lot of people are now going to the gym. Look at how many gyms there are around the country. There's almost every corner. There's some Planet Fitness or the YMCA or L.A. I mean, they're all over the place. So we've invited Brian Atterbury, who is a well-known trainer. As a matter of fact, Brian is responsible for training the new teen U.S. Miss USA and Miss USA, both of them, teen Miss USA and Miss USA. Both of them have been clients, so he has a very interesting list of clients, but I think what we want to find out, Ken, is how to, including nutrition and exercise, how to have the best result. I spend a lot of time working out. You do. I'm not sure that I get all the results that I want to, and I know why, because I still am eating ice cream and pie and cake and all that good stuff.
All of our trigger foods.
Exactly right. Brian, welcome to Good Day Health.
Good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity.
Brian, it's great to be with you. He helps others achieve their personal best through lifestyle, physical fitness, and nutrition changes. He's a nationally certified trainer with a BS degree in health and sports sciences from the University of Oklahoma. Folks, he's the real thing. He's been awarded a top 10 personal trainer in the nation. Not only does he train clients, he also competes. For example, in 2001, he was personally awarded heavyweight and overall Mr. Oklahoma. And in 2003, he opened Results Fitness and Nutrition Center in Edmond, Oklahoma, and has consulted hundreds of clients from age 8 and up on diet and exercise. And as Doug mentioned, his clients just recently won both the Miss Teen USA and Miss USA pageants. Brian, from me personally, it's a great honor and privilege to welcome you to Good Day Health.
Well, the pleasure is mine. I appreciate the opportunity. It's a hobby I get paid for, is what I like to tell people. It's a lot of work, you know, a lot of hours, a lot of early times, a lot of late times sometimes, but you got to train when the people can get to the gym and help them around their schedules. That's a big part of the lifestyle approach that we've got to deal with.
So in this world of exercise, focus on eating, et cetera, do you train? You just were talking with Ken about Miss Oklahoma, Miss Missouri. You've trained Miss Kansas, Miss Arkansas, Miss Illinois, Miss Nebraska, Miss USA. The list goes on. How is it different for women than it is for men?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily a whole lot different. It depends on goals. I mean, I think generally speaking, women will have a little bit more of a difficult time, obviously, putting on muscle, which is usually what they're not wanting to do, is put on too much muscle. That's kind of some of the myths we have to overcome in regards to, you know, weight training necessarily bulking a lady up. So they're going to have a little bit more of a challenge putting on muscle, which in turn sometimes can lead to making it a little bit more difficult. As we've seen many times when couples start a diet, the men will tend to lose weight quicker. I like to say that everything's not equal in a marriage, and what I mean by that is typically the spouse, the male, the husband is going to be able to eat a little bit more than the female, the wife. That's generally how it works too. So women are going to eat a little less. They're going to probably do a little bit more cardio, maybe a little less weights depending on goals. But, I mean, we all have the same muscles. I mean, we have girls, you know, ladies have pecs, they have lats, they have quads, they have hamstrings, they have a core just like men do. I definitely think there's really, it's more about the results we're going to expect in terms of muscularity. Men tend to want to, you know, focus more, a little bit more on the muscle building component, and women tend to, you know, use the term toning or slimming and leaning out a little bit more than men do.
You think that's more of a Western thing than an Eastern thing in terms of women? I'm a great believer and an advocate in muscle. I think muscle on women is very sexy. You can build your muscles and you don't have to look like a man. You just,
sure,
you work it to, and I say this on the air all the time in conjunction with some of our sponsors that work on building your strength or building your health. You're going to fall apart. If you want, I don't know how old you are, Brian, but if you're Ken's age or my age and you're not putting on some muscle and you're not working to keep your muscles as, I don't know whether you want to call them big or toned or strong, but your skeleton's going to fall apart. If you don't have muscle to hold yourself together, you are going to die a horrible death. I can, you know, I've seen it with people who are my age. They just kind of give up. They don't want to exercise, and they don't at their own peril. Isn't that true? The older you get, the more muscle both men and women need?
Absolutely. I think one of the things that you talk about, the analogy is you hear in business the phrase, if you're not going ahead, you're going behind. As we get older, especially when we get over 40, which I'm in my 40s now, you have to be smart about it. You have to think, you know, I'm not 25 anymore. I don't know that I need to be doing like box jumps and some explosive, you know, joint jarring activities like maybe you could get away with when you're younger. But you do want to try to build muscle because your muscle is going to really affect your resting metabolic rate. I mean, when you think about the reason that a Porsche burns gas faster than a smart car is because a Porsche has a bigger, stronger engine under the hood. Well, we've got to think about our muscles as kind of like the horsepower in our cars. So consequently, you know, a lot of times when ladies will come to me, and like I totally agree with you, I think muscle is sexy. I think it's what is ultimately what provides shape to the body. It's just about making sure you get the right kind of workout for your body type. You know, if, for example, a lot of ladies don't like their legs. The mistake they make a lot of times is they go to the gym and they work nothing but their legs. Well, the analogy I like to use to get them to think about how that's not a good idea is when guys a lot of times go to the gym, they're guilty of kind of focusing on their, say, their chest and their arms, and a lot of times ignore their legs. Well, you look at most gentlemen, they don't have, you know, heavier set legs. Well, we've just established that that's not because they're working them so hard. They're not even working them a lot of times, or they're working them with a lot less intensity than they are like their chest and their arms. So it's a mistake for ladies then to think, well, I'm going to go to the gym and do lots and lots and lots of legs thinking I'm going to make my legs smaller. Quite the opposite. You definitely need to do your legs. You definitely want to make them strong, but you got to make sure you do your upper body. Men and women tend to kind of further answer that question you asked me earlier, men and women tend to differentiate a lot more with our upper bodies than we do our lower bodies. Women, pound for pound, are generally about as strong as a man is with lower body stuff. That's why a lot of ladies like to work their legs. They feel more successful. They feel strong. They feel capable. On the contrast, the upper body a lot of times can be a lot weaker in a woman, and they tend to stay away from it, which is the opposite of what they want to do because we're trying to train symmetry and balance. So, you know, we've got to make sure we put that extra emphasis in those shoulders and back, those postural muscles, to give you that nice symmetry to balance out the top to the bottom, to balance out those hips, to make sure you have good shoulders and upper back to give you that tapered look. So, absolutely. I think what I tell people, too, is that it's not the presence of muscle that's the problem that makes someone look bulkier, you know, not feminine. It's usually the absence of the fat we need to work on a little bit more.
Right.
A lot of times
it's
muscle.
Yeah, sometimes the emphasis is on the lean muscle, and then the shape looks, then you look more like a man. But if you got something around it, then I think that holds it together. We'll continue. Brian Atterbury is here. His ResultsFitnessUSA.com website, good place to go to figure out what maybe you want in a personal trainer, how these things all fit together, structure your training. I want to have Ken talk to him about his routine. Brian Atterbury continues on Good Day Health. Here's a way for you to, as we're thinking about our bodies and getting them clean and healthy. If you have not yet taken advantage of Life Change Tea, here is a fabulous way to cleanse all kinds of things out of your body. I don't know whether you knew it or not, but we, most of us, have parasites, organisms in our body that live off of us as the host. These are gross, ugly things. Parasites live a parallel life inside your body, feeding off of your energy, feeding off of your cells, feeding off of your food. Make no mistake about it. Parasites are the most toxic agents in your body. One of the primary underlying causes of disease, inflammation, compromised immune systems, all of those things. So if you want to cleanse your body, get the fluoride out of it, for example. There are all kinds of things. Life Change Tea helps to cleanse the harmful toxins and chemicals and bacteria, mold, parasites that are in your body out. I have a cup every day while I'm on the air. It's pretty simple to make. You can make a batch of a gallon at a time. If you stop drinking the tea, you stop cleansing your body, because whatever you're eating, I'm guaranteeing you, especially the way things are today, you won't find food like we had 50 or 60 years ago. That's why you need this. There weren't GMOs and pesticides and herbicides and processing 60, 70 years ago. Now there is. That's why you need Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea. You get it by going to getthetea.com. GetTheTea.com. Use the discount code DJV, and the folks at Get the Tea will send you the shipping. They'll take off for the show. You're not going to charge. They won't charge you for the shipping. Get it shipped to you free. GetTheTea.com. Get ready for more energy, a clean body, clean mind. You'll drink it every day. Get it now. You can't get it in stores. You buy it online at getthetea.com. Use the discount code DJV for free shipping. Dr. Ken and Dr. Doug, I've got no license. He's got a license. We're talking to Brian Atterbury, who has a license, a personal trainer, ResultsFitnessUSA.com. So, Ken, did you structure your training routine based on some expert advice like Brian's, or just do what came naturally?
Absolutely. And let me walk through that, because we can talk about several different types of clients that I'm sure Brian sees. And I picked out five. Brian probably may have some more different types, but this probably covers about 98% of us. And Doug's asking how I started. So let's pick out first a third of Americans. They're obese. They're beginners. They may have played a sport in high school. You know, I played baseball all through high school, then went to medical school and had no time to do anything but study and got out of it. And then years later, put on way too much weight, wanted to get back into fitness. So let's talk about the middle-aged obese beginner. Brian, how do you structure a training program, both nutrition and fitness, for that person? Then we'll talk about maybe the intermediate, and then the athlete, then the early pregnant, and then maybe the senior citizen. And I guess we're going to have to really take this after the break.
No worries, no worries. Yeah, I think the average person, when they start off, is going to, you got to look at time, for one. People don't work out because they don't have time. But I say in general, the average person, as far as resistance training goes, needs to do maybe like 3 sets of 8 to 12 repetitions per body part. So you might put like a lat movement, a chest movement, a shoulder movement, ham and quad movement, core movement, by and try. Maybe finish off with some calves. Maybe your body weight. Nothing, you know, a lot of times people make the mistake trying to go in there and do what they did in high school, which is a big mistake. You definitely want to focus on cardio. You want to make sure we're doing cardio most days of the week. Maybe start off with walking, because most people know how to do that. That's more applicable for life. And then obviously you got to kind of go with different, you know, orthopedic issues as far as structuring those specific workouts.
Brian Atterbury is with Dr. Ken and me. ResultsFitnessUSA.com is his website. Ken threw out 3 or 4 different things that he wanted to get Brian to explain. So let's go to that list.
Brian, we just talked about the obese middle-aged beginner. Let's talk about the intermediate individual, the person, they've gotten back into the gym maybe 3 years. They've gotten some results, but they're not nearly where they want to be. You know, the guy still has that that big belly, the spare tire. How do you work with that person? How do you plan a nutrition and training program for the intermediate?
Well, you hit it right on the head when you mentioned the nutrition. The first thing you people have to understand, regardless of what program a person may do, if you leave the gym and the other 23, you know, 22 hours a day you're not at the gym, you're not eating correctly to allow the stimulus to take, you know, motion. Think of the workout as a stimulus. We're setting that track in motion on or that train in motion on the track. If you don't eat correctly, and I say the word correctly because a lot of times people eat healthy, but they don't necessarily eat correctly. And I'm sure you all have talked about on the show, you know, we got to watch carbohydrates even in the form of fruit. You can't just eat all the fruit you want in the world and expect to lose weight. And that's a common mistake people make, is just one example. But in general, you still have to address time. So that's when we look at the intensity of the workouts. You might get into where you're doing what we call supersets, where you're going from, say, one exercise to another. For example, you might do like a chest movement, and immediately the moment you do that set of, say, 8 to 12 reps, you immediately go to a back movement without rest. That increases the intensity, allows you to increase your volume a little bit. It's going to make it harder. You're going to stimulate a little bit more muscle. You could also do what we do, what's called split workouts, where instead of doing a full body workout every other day, you start, you know, dividing your workouts into upper body, lower body, or you even have days where you just hit like your chest, shoulders, and triceps, a day where you hit just your back and biceps, a day where you hit just your legs, making it, allowing you to have a little bit more volume, but then you're going to do it consequently less frequently. And that's because after a while, your body kind of goes, oh, here we go, 3 sets of 8 to 12, we're used to this, and it doesn't want to change. Beyond that, obviously, the cardio becomes a factor. We still got to do cardio if you want to lose that gut, if you want to lose that body fat. We got to oxidize the fat. So once again, if time's a factor, that's when you start looking at maybe doing interval or what we call HIIT-type training, high-intensity training, where you're doing maybe like 10 to 15-second bursts, followed by 30 to 45 second coasting, kind of let your heart rate and your breathing catch up. Do it again, repeat. There's various ways to do it. It's a lot more intense. It's just like strength training. Your heart is a muscle. You push it harder, it's going to get stronger. Your cardiac output gets better. I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But it absolutely needs to evolve, or it's like the definition of insanity. You keep doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So intensity is a big factor, and obviously volume is a factor, but a lot of times we go back to the number one reason people don't work out is because they don't have time. So that's where intensity and quality of the workout really starts to kick in as far as making it work. So beyond that, you always have to look at your orthopedic issues and other health problems that might go along with an individual.
Any comments you want to make about dangers and benefits of supplements?
Yeah, supplements are a big, broad category. I mean, you definitely need to look at the fact that they're not regulated by the FDA. You need to look at reputable companies, make sure that there's an organization called Preferred Choice, which kind of it's organizations that have allowed their supplements to be peer-reviewed, so you know the quality's there. They truly have, if they say 500 milligrams of, you know, vitamin C in there, that's truly what they have, for example, that they're not, you know, pulling a fast one on you. But I think supplements can be supplemental to a proper nutrition. I like whey protein isolate. I think that's a good one. I think glucosamine for your joints is good. Vitamin C, vitamin D, and calcium are great. Especially, you see a lot of people with those deficiencies with vitamin D nowadays. And I just think you got to think about your joints. And all this stuff we're talking about, it all comes back to joints, and those muscles are what support the joints. But we got to have healthy joints for all that to work together. Absolutely believe in supplements, but only second to proper nutrition.
Brian, how do you find a good personal trainer, and how will people find you?
Well, I do a lot of online stuff. You listed the ResultFitnessUSA.com, so we do a lot of programs for that. But one of the things that people need to understand is there are not any state or federal mandates for trainers to have any kind of proper education. So I would make sure if you go to a gym, don't assume just because it's a big chain even, that they have anything beyond maybe a weekend certification. You know, look at and see if they've got a bachelor's of science in exercise science or kinesiology, because that does matter, especially if you're talking about major orthopedic issues, autoimmune issues, or cardiac issues.
Yep. All right. Best of luck. Thank you for being here and giving us the benefit of your knowledge and experience, Brian. Brian Atterbury, ResultFitnessUSA.com. Very important information about your training.
This program was edited by Bob K. Sound and Recording. Visit BobKSound.com.